Hey, come on, Go Church family. How you feel today? Feel good? I don't know. You feel good? You look good. You know what? Why don't you look at the person right next to you and say, you look like $1 million. Go ahead and tell them that. And then say, it's a good thing because I need to borrow a cool $1 million. There you go. What a great morning to be together in God's house. Welcome to Go Church, everybody. I am confident that whatever campus you're a part of today, you've already been greeted. We hope that from the moment you pulled in off the street to the time you found your seat, you have felt the power of God here and the love of this awesome church family. Those of you in the room, the majority of you already know this, but we're one church, multiple locations. We've got our South Metro Atlanta campus, and then looking into the cameras in the back of the room, let me say good morning to our Westside Atlanta campus on the beautiful property of City of Refuge there on the west side of Atlanta. And then we have our Germantown, Maryland campus right there in Montgomery County, Maryland. And so we greet all of you. And then, of course, everybody watching online, whoever you are, wherever you're watching from, thanks for tuning in. So, all right, whatever campus you're a part of today, can we greet one another with a big God bless you? Come on. Hey, come on, let's clap like this is the first time we've ever done it. Come on now, there we go. I like it. And then you know we've got a tradition here before we get into the word that we pause to give honor to the brave men and women that serve in the military and all of those courageous first responders. So if you are at one of our campuses today and you are a veteran of military or you're currently active duty, or your job considers you to be a first responder, we want to give you a big attaboy, attagirl, and just some encouragement and affirmation. So will you do this for me? If you're in the room and you serve, can you put your hand up? We want to acknowledge you today. Come on, room, let's go crazy. Come on, thank you, 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 thank you. Thank you in the back, thank you right here, over here, thank you. Come on, let's make some noise. Really good. And then really excited, I'll give you one announcement. We'll get right into the message. You heard this in the video a moment ago. We are excited to announce our first ever, first annual His and Hers Marriage Conference. Come on, we are tremendously excited. You know that every year we are investing into the women of Go Church through You Go Girl. Come on, ladies, where you at? You Go Girl. And then, of course, we do our annual Man Up Conference for the fellas. We've got Kids Blast for the kids. And this year we're kicking off our first ever marriage conference. We're calling it His and Hers. And we want you to be a part of this. This is for all married couples and engaged couples at all of our campuses. So we want to invite you to be a part. Registration is open as of midnight tonight, or last night. Yes, so it's open today. You can go online. You can go on the app. You can stop by Next Steps, get some more information. We got a great lineup of speakers that are going to be here that weekend, Friday night, half day Saturday. And there is a little bit of a cost that is associated with this conference, but we never want money to be a reason that you can't participate in anything that we do. So all you have to do is let us know that you need a little bit of help. You can let one of our staff know or send us an email. We got some very generous people here at Go Church that love to sponsor families, and they'll do that anonymously. You won't know them, and they won't know you. But we don't want anybody to be left out. So make sure you go ahead, get online, and sign up for the marriage conference. And if you're single and you're waiting for the right man or the right woman, you just keep loving Jesus. Can I get an amen? And nothing to be ashamed of in a season of singlehood. And don't you rush that either. It'd be better to be lonely than to be married to a loser. Can I just get an amen from somebody? Anyway, it's going to be that kind of day, by the way. I'm just telling you. Hey, today is week number 8 of summer school. We've been looking at the book of Proverbs. We started 8 weeks ago, which is just tremendous. 31 chapters in the book of Proverbs, which I think is spiritual. I like to say that there are 31 chapters in the book of Proverbs so that you get one proverb for every single day of the month. Come on. So if you just practice this, this will be helpful for all of us. A proverb a day keeps the devil away. Can I get an amen? So we're studying the book of Proverbs, and today we're going to look at Proverbs chapter number 22. Before we do that, can I offer a prayer for you? And if you would be so gracious to pray for me, that would be a blessing. So heads bowed, eyes closed, every campus. I like to take 10 seconds, kind of a moment of silence here and reflection. You invite the Holy Spirit to speak to you and to speak through me. After 10 seconds, I'll offer a prayer. We'll jump into the message. Here we go. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. And Jesus, I'm praying that your word, not my word, but your word would go forth today. And I thank you that your word never returns void. God, I'm praying that this message would transform families, husbands, wives, children, grandparents, grandchildren, nieces, nephews, you name it. I'm believing, Father, not just for our current family, but for our future family, that you've got a right now word for us. I'm praying that you would anoint me and touch me. I never take lightly the responsibility to preach the gospel. So I'm leaning on your strength today, on your wisdom today, on the Holy Spirit's power today. And I'm asking that you would just fill me up and that you would get glory and honor from this conversation today, God. It is not my heart. Nothing within me has a desire to be a famous pastor or to pastor a famous church. I've got one goal. I want to make Jesus famous. And so, Lord, I'm asking that today, Lord, that you would be made known and that you would be pleased with our time together. So we honor you and we give you thanks. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and the whole church said amen. We've done a lot of clapping, but now can we give the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords the best praise we've got? Come on. Oh, come on. If God's been good to you, can you let him know? Come on. Woo. All right, let's get into the message today. If you're a note taker, I encourage you to do that. I don't want to scare anybody, but this could be the longest sermon I ever preach. Come on, so buckle up. Anybody bring some church snacks? Where are the church snack people at? So those were the good old days when the people brought candy to church. But I want you to take notes today. I want you to sit back today. I want you to engage today. I always believe that the Lord has given me a message, but I don't remember a recent message that I have felt this much passion or conviction around. I pray a lot and fast a lot for our messages together, but had a lot of time on the road this week, so I invested even more hours of prayer and just asking the Lord to meet us here. So I don't want this message to come across mean in any way, shape, or form, but is it all right if I'm just a little mean for 1 week? Is that okay? Come on, it's all right. I'll go back next Sunday to everybody be happy and just, you know, smile a little bit. Today, though, somebody just needs a good, like, right hook from the Holy Ghost. Come on. Proverbs 22, you're clapping because you're like, if I clap, maybe it won't be me. Come on. Proverbs 22, verse number 6. From Genesis to the book of Revelation, there are over 3,000 promises in the Bible. Because of the redemptive work of Jesus Christ on the cross at Calvary, for every single one of us that are in a relationship with him personally, all of God's promises, all 3,000 plus promises are ours. They're yes and amen. So a lot of times when I read the Bible, or you've heard me say the most powerful prayers that you can pray is when you pray the scripture. A lot of time when I read the Bible or pray the scripture, I insert my family there. I put my name there, or Kimberly's name there, or our children's name there. And in Proverbs 22, verse number 6, this is a beautiful promise from the Lord that if you and I are committed to training up our children in the way that they should go, that whenever they grow up and whenever they get old, they will not depart from it. Isn't that fantastic? By show of hands, anybody want to speak that promise over your children, your grandchildren, your future children? I want you to read this together with me, and I'd love for you to read it just as it is, a promise for you and your family. Ready? Come on, 1, 2, 3. Train up a child in the way they should go, and when they are old, they will not depart from it. There's a great organization called Barna that does all kinds of research, and you can go online and Google them, and you can find statistics just about anything, a lot related to religion and faith and generations and. But Barna put together some statistics more than you and I would have time today to really process and have conversation through. But I want to pull some of the statistics that Barna shared about teenagers in the United States. Now, all teenagers right now are made up of Generation Z, Generation Z. So Generation Z will often refer to the older group as boomers. Come on, anybody ever heard that, like you boomer? Well, Generation Z is known as the Zoomers. So there you go. So you got the boomers and you got the Zoomers. But Generation Z is made up of over 74 million people. That's 1 in 4 Americans. It's a massive movement of a generation. And in my opinion, and by your own testimony of parenting and grandparenting and being a guardian, the enemy is after our sons and daughters. The enemy is after the souls of our children. And I don't want to get ahead of my thoughts here, but we need to be willing to fight for our families and fight for our children. Look at some of the staggering statistics here about Gen Z. 2 out of 3 teenagers are expected to leave the church. There is a major movement right now known as the deconstruction movement, where individuals are not only deconstructing their faith, but they're deconstructing from the church. Our next series is going to be on deconstruction in September, just a couple week series that I want to talk to you about this. But this is alarming that, you know, 2 out of every 3 teenagers are going to leave the church or leave the faith altogether. Again, because this is specific to the statistics in the United States, U.S. teenagers are 2 times more likely than adults to identify as atheist. Not just agnostic, but I don't even believe that there is a God. And I thank God for teachers and education, but a lot of what's happening with public school system and Hollywood and culture and society, they are helping to shape the worldview of this generation. That's why you and I got to fight for them. Only 3% of teenagers read their Bible every single day. This current generation is more isolated and disconnected than any previous generation in the history of humanity. And this statistic was before COVID happens. And then COVID hits. And COVID decimated all of us in a lot of ways. And one of the great challenges that happened with COVID, and we still haven't seen the full effect of it, is isolation and quarantine. Your Bible says that we're not created, you know, to be alone. It's not good for man to be alone. Now, I think the times of isolation, you know, were needed and necessary to keep us safe and healthy. But what it did to this generation, for everything to go digitally and all of their classes to go online, and it separated them from other people. It now has created a dependence on technology and addiction and over-dependence is some of the top challenges or problems that teenagers are facing today. Watch this. And because everything, and times have changed, right? Times have changed since I was a teenager. Times have changed since you were a teenager. Now this generation, everything is available at their fingertips. You know, I'll talk a lot about my family today, and a lot of the stories is probably why this sermon will be a little longer. But, you know, Kimberly and I, we talked about this recently. I grew up in a home that whenever mom cooked, you ate what she cooked. Like anyone else, you're just going to eat what you ate. And if you didn't want to eat it, you went to bed hungry. Anybody grow up like that? You know, now it's like, well, I don't like that. Can we DoorDash? Well, I'll DoorDash you. Come on, somebody. 57% of teenagers are looking at some type of screen for over 4 hours every single day. They are consumed with video game systems and YouTube and Netflix and Hulu and TikTok and Instagram and, you know, Facebook. And back in the day when social media first began, it was easy. It was MySpace. Come on now. But now it's just overwhelming, and it really is an addiction for so many people. And the enemy of this world is after the souls of our children. And I feel really passionate about this today because I'm going to challenge parents and grandparents and myself to really fight for families. And if you go back to the Old Testament, there's a story out of the book of Nehemiah. And Nehemiah, after the Babylonian exile, is called to rebuild the city walls of Jerusalem. This is his hometown. And I know that after the destruction of his hometown happens, he walks into the city, and verse number 14, and you'll see already highlighted here where I want to go with this, but he says, after I looked around and I saw everything, I saw all the destruction and the disaster. And if you look around this generation, we see a lot of bad things happening. It doesn't feel like there's a lot of hope for this generation, but I think that there is hope, and his name is Jesus. And instead of us being critical and afraid of them, right? We're going to give them Jesus. We're going to train them up in the way that they should go. We're going to help develop a biblical foundation and help them with Christian morals and ethics. Can I get an amen from somebody? And here's what he says. Don't be afraid of them. Remember the Lord who is both great and awesome. And no matter what we're going through today, God is great and God is awesome. And he says this, and fight for your families. Fight for them. That's what we need. We don't need to cower down in fear or because we don't know. And there's a lot about parenting that I don't know. And parenting is a lot like building an airplane while you're flying it. Come on, somebody. You're just trying to figure it out as you go. But we're going to fight for our families, and we're gonna fight for our sons. Come on, can I get an amen? We're going to fight for our daughters. If the enemy's coming after my son and my daughter, he got to get through me and the Holy Ghost before he gets to Lakeland in London. Are you hearing what I'm... We're going to be here 2 days if you don't say amen back. Come on now. The more you amen, the faster I preach. That's about an hour and 5 minutes worth. Fight for your sons. Fight for your daughters. Fight for your wives. Fight for your homes. And here's what I want to tell you is that this generation not only wants us to fight for them, they need us to fight for them. And they may not tell you that they want you to fight for them, but they want it. Because they're terrified of what's in front of them. They don't know how to navigate culture and society and peer pressure and temptation and all of that any more than we know how to help them parent through it. But thanks be to God for the Holy Spirit. And they want us in their corner. They want us cheering them on. They want us there physically. They want us to pray. And not only do they want it, but they need it. They need it. Some months ago, Chris Hodges from Church of the Highlands, just a tremendous pastor, a beautiful church, and really a spiritual mentor of mine. I've had a lot of opportunities to sit with Pastor Chris on a number of occasions, but he did a message on the family, and one of the things he did in that message was they did an anonymous survey with their student ministry, and the anonymous survey was, I wish my parents knew. And so I sent a message to our youth pastor at this campus, and he touched base with our campus pastor in Germantown. And this past week, we did the anonymous survey with our students here. And we just said, hey, nobody's gonna know, it's strictly anonymous, but just write down anything that you wish your parents knew. And then we got dozens and dozens and dozens of anonymous results, and they put it into an Excel spreadsheet. And man, I wept. It broke my heart. Yesterday morning, I got up early, and on the south side of Atlanta, it was a beautiful morning, like 71 degrees, and I got me a cup of coffee. I went outside. I've got this little propane outdoor fireplace. Come on, I flipped on the fire. That felt good. Come on. I sat around there. I was praying for this message, and I just started reading through this Excel spreadsheet of all the responses of your sons, your daughters, our children, a part of this family. And I was so moved by it. Just God, this generation needs Jesus more than ever. That was about 7 o'clock. About 11 o'clock, my son Lakeland, who's 12, came out of hibernation. And he came outside. Come on, parents. How many of you know what I'm talking about? He was so exhausted. It was the first full week of school for him. So he came outside, and he sat down beside me. This is going to embarrass somebody. He always gives me a kiss on the cheek and says, I love you, Dad. And he sat down beside me, and I said, Lake, I said, Wednesday in Go Youth, you guys did this anonymous survey. I wish my parents knew. He's like, yeah, yeah, I remember that. I said, well, I'm going to read some to the church. And I said, just as your dad, I'm just going to ask you, like, are any of these yours? And he's like, man, what are you doing, Dad? What are you doing? I was like, look, here's the deal. I'm going to read you the 10 that I'll read the church. This is a true story. I was like, I'm going to read you the 10. If any of these are yours, don't say anything. Just blink 4 times. And Lakeland goes, he's like, well, you know, like naturally I blink. I'm like, yeah, but we're talking 4 times. He's like, well, now I'm nervous. Like, I can't stop blinking. I was like, I hadn't even started reading. He was like, I don't even know what's going on right now, you know? But I said to him, I said, Lake, I said, if any of these that I'm going to share are yours, or if any of these that you wrote down that you really want me to know, you got to tell me. Because I'm for you, man. And I love you. And I'll help you through anything. And you're going to hear the heartbreak of some of our sons and daughters through this. I wish my parents knew that I struggle with self-harm. I wish my parents knew that I've got extreme anxiety and sadness and loneliness. I wish they knew how I felt. I wish my parents knew more about my mental health challenges. And I told them before, but I don't think they really understand. I speak against the spirit of suicide in the strong name of Jesus. I wish my parents knew that when I act annoyed with them, I'm really not. I'm just struggling a lot right now with stress, and my anger gets released at home. You can't justify disrespect, but by show of hands, has that ever happened to any one of us grown folk? Come on now. I wish my parents knew that I'm terrified of failure, and I'm terrified of disappointing them. I wish my parents knew that I cry myself to sleep. I wish my parents knew that I feel like I'm bearing the weight of our family, a teenager. Our family's going through a lot right now, and I just feel like it's all on me. Here's one, and Lakeland said he didn't put this in there, but he did blink four times. He said, I wish my parents knew that they're just as addicted to electronics as we are. Watch this. Do you feel this? I wish my parents knew that I actually need more guidance and consistency. Whew. I wish my parents knew how much I want to go to church and how much God means to me. Listen to me. It is time that you fight for your family and we fight for this generation. John 10:10, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And he's coming after our kids. Well, we don't have time to play games. We don't have time to play church games. We're talking about life and death that's hanging in the balance here. And the enemy is, 1 Peter 5:8, right, says that the enemy, this great enemy, is like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. The enemy is going around this earth, and he's coming after our homes and after our marriages and after the family unit, because your Bible says that a house divided against itself cannot stand. I can't do anything about your family. I can only do something about my family. And I've got a lot of maturing and growing and learning to do, but listen to me. I'm fighting for my family. I'm fighting for my children, and I'm fighting for my wife. I'm fighting for our home. And this week, man, I just begged the Lord, like, God, what do parents need to know? What do grandparents need to know? And every family dynamic is so unique and different. Maybe you're a guardian. And so here's just five things. At some point, I'm going to write a series of books on five things, all right? Five things that will keep the family together, five things God can't do. Here's one, five things that I believe every parent needs to know. Just five things that I believe every single parent needs to know. And if you'll let me just for a moment get a little passionate, a little in your face, maybe even stand on my own soapbox for a moment and vent just some frustration, because I am human. We need to have an honest conversation. Is that good? I hope they've locked the doors. You can't leave. Come on, somebody. Here's the first one of five, all right? Five things that I believe every parent or guardian needs to know. The first one is this. Your primary job is not to be your child's best friend. Oh, you ought to give me a better amen than that. This is not the primary job. Now, let me say this. In different seasons, you get to wear different hats. So it is a great desire of mine that as my children grow up and they become young adults or adults, that we have this mutual admiration for each other and we are best friends in that season. But when your children are little and small, or adolescents, or teenagers, or young adults, they don't need you to be their best friend. They need you to be their mother. They need you to be their father. Now, I'm not saying that, you know, you can only love them and not like them. You should love and like them, and they should love and somewhat like you. But the goal here is not for them just to like you. You know, if I made every decision based off of my children liking me, they'd be a hot mess, y'all. Come on, somebody. Because watch, they don't know the way to go. So God has given you and I, parents and grandparents, one of the greatest responsibilities on this earth, and that is to be the spiritual leader in their life. So watch this, and because this is so important. If your desire is to be little Johnny, no offense if that's like actually your child's name, or little Susie, Once again, beautiful name. But if little Johnny and little Susie, you just want to be their best friend, here's what's going to happen. They'll stop respecting you, and you'll lose your authority. Little Johnny and Susie don't need you to be their best friend. Here's what they actually need. They need you to lead the home. They don't, and I know teenagers and kids, you're not going to love this part, but one day you'll appreciate this, I promise you. What you actually need, what this generation actually needs, is they need more guidance, not less. They need more accountability, not less. My son Lakeland, he's got a phone. This daddy goes through that cell phone. Yeah, and he's like, why are you going through the phone? You don't trust me? I'm like, man, I don't know. You're only 12. I don't really know you yet. You know what I mean? Like, I had a dog that I knew better than you. I'll talk a little bit more as for me and Miles, but I'm going to go through that thing, you know? Well, you must be a helicopter parent. Well, chop, 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 chop. J.C. Worley here with Action 5 News. I am now helicoptering over my son, Lakeland, and London. Yeah, and if I'm not hovering over them, the Holy Ghost will be. I'm not. Hey, I'm dad. And you don't need less discipline. You need more discipline. We're in the book of Proverbs. Here's you one. Chew on this. Whoever spares the rod spoils the child. And we're right. And I love, this isn't for this church. This is for another church. They got a generation of brats. You ever been in Walmart and you've seen one of them like act out? And what'd you say? If that were my child. Well, have you seen your child? Like, if you spare the rod, you spoil the child. Less discipline doesn't mean more love. I tell my kids all the time, and of course, London, who's only 7 and perfect, she doesn't really fully understand this, but Lakeland, who's growing, and he's understanding boundaries and responsibility and consequences. Because listen, that's life. For every action, there is a reaction. So I'll tell them, I'll say, look, whenever I have to say no, I'll say, this isn't rejection, this is protection. I'm protecting you from something that you don't even know exists, an evil in this world. And maybe, just maybe, although I'm not the cool guy anymore, maybe I've been there, done that, bought the t-shirt and got a testimony. So I'm not going to let you make the same mistakes that I've made. Can I get 100 people to say amen to that? We need discipline in the home. I talk about this a lot, but man, this is a different world of parenting. Man, when I grew up, and some of y'all know this family, like all my mama had to do was give me a look. And when that one eyebrow went up, come on, somebody raise your hand. Tell me you know what I'm talking about. I knew, dead man walking. And my daddy would say, before he went home to be with the Lord, he'd say, wait till we get home. So I'd be in church, and I'd act out in church and be like, wait till we get home. And I had never had a better prayer life in my whole life. I'd be like, Lord, let us go to Taco Bell today after church. Let us swing by the Kmart. Come on, somebody. Let's get that blue light special. I'd be like, hey, why don't we just drive around the neighborhood a few times? And then you know what? We'd get home, and my dad would act like he forgot. And I'd be like, we made it. We're in the clear. And then he'd say, go get me a switch. Show me your hands if you know what I'm talking about. Go give me. Nowadays, your kids think a Switch is a Nintendo game system. They're like, oh, you want the Switch? What are you going to play? I had to go pick my, how many of you had to pick your own Switch? Now, I'm not up here advocating, you know, spanking and child abuse and all of that. Although I've been around some of your kids. A little pop or two on the hind tail wouldn't be so bad. Come on, somebody. Look at the person behind you. Say, I think he's talking about your kids. He's certainly not talking about mine. The goal here, the primary responsibility, is not to be the best friend of your child. Your number one job is to be the spiritual leader of your home. Listen to me. We'll talk more about this partnership of the role you play and bringing up, training up your child in the Lord and the role that this church plays. But you can't delegate spiritual authority over your children. You can't delegate family devotion. You can't delegate Bible reading. You can't assign someone else to come in and pray for your family. Now, we all can use the prayers of brothers and sisters, but at the end of the day, this is our job as mom and dad and grandparents. And this is heavy, it's hard. And none of us bat 1,000 on this, but this is the primary role here. Watch this. This is just me in my house, by the way. Joshua 24:15. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. So this is a very convicting verse here, because it's not just about your household. It actually starts with you. And I tell the kids all the time, and Kimberly, who doesn't need to be reminded that I'm not perfect, but you can follow my example as I follow the example of Christ. That as for me, as for dad, as for the husband, I'm going to pray, I'm going to read the Bible, I'm going to worship, we're going to tithe, we're going to church. Can I get an amen? This is what I do because I've got a personal relationship with the Lord. And my house, which, by the way, is my house. See, in my house, I pay all the bills. Come on, somebody help me preach for a minute here. So when the kids come in, I'm like, all the food you eat, that's my food. And that bed you sleep in, well, that's my bed. And the pool that you swim in, that's my pool, right? The clothes you wear, those are my clothes. Because you know why? You ain't got no money. You don't have a job. So until you get your job and have some money and get your own house, as for me in this house, well, there's only one way, and it's the Lord's way. Now, when you get out of this house, you do you, boo. But as long as you wake up under this roof that the good Lord gave us, it's my way or the highway. Come on. Now, that may sound mean, and it may sound hard, but listen to me. I decide what comes in my house and what leaves my house. We decide what we watch and what we don't watch. We decide what we listen to and what we don't listen to, and what games my kids play and don't play. Because as for me and my house, well, the worldlies, we're just going to serve the Lord. And you know what? Sometimes the kids won't like that decision. They're not going to like the decision. I've told you this before, but anytime I tell a story about Lakeland or London on a Sunday in a message, I always pay them $5. Because I figure if they're going to be the content in the message, they should at least get a royalty. Come on. So they don't love it, but they like the payout, right? So we got like $25 coming today. Come on now. Even last night, we got in late. We were at a nonprofit banquet, and we had a babysitter. We were coming home, got stuck in traffic, got home late. And Lakeland starts, I mean, it's like almost 11 o'clock, and that's way past our Saturday night bedtime for all of us. I mean, I get up at 4:30. I'm here at the church by 5:30. And so, you know, a sleepy dad is an irritable dad. Come on. There's a lady in the room that you needed to hear that word from the Lord. Let your husband nap. I thought a man would say amen, but y'all left me on an island all by myself. You text me to tell her. That's your fault, not mine. So Lakeland starts, and I hear him. You know, can I get this video game? Can I get this video game? And look, I mean, again, this is me in my house. I don't care what video games your kids play. And some of your kids have asked my kids to play that video game. And I'm sure that my son has and probably will one day influence one of your kids to play a video game. But he comes in, can I get this video game? And I heard Kimberly, no, we're not going to talk about it tonight, but when we talk about it tomorrow, it's still going to be no. So, you know, because he is my son, he's like, well, I didn't get the answer I want. Let's go try Sleepy Dad. So he comes in like, Dad, I just talked to Mom. He's like, talked about this video game. I was like, bro, I heard the whole conversation. The answer is no. It's no today. It's no tomorrow. Why? Well, and how many of you remember when you were a kid? You're like, I'm never going to say because I said so. So, well, because I said so. Because I'm not rejecting you, I'm protecting you. As for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. So let me say this to you. Let me challenge you. I'll give you the other points here. Every mom, every dad, every grandfather, every grandmother, let me challenge you. Even if you're not leading as the spiritual authority of your home, you can begin today. It is never too late to begin a spiritual journey, a faith journey with your family. You can start today. And listen, moms, God bless you. I mean, thank God for mamas. You are rock stars, and the most affirming use of that word. What Kimberly is able to do is just, you're superheroes. But dads, we're called to be the spiritual priest of our home. Biblically, that doesn't mean that you're the man of your house. It means you should be the man of God of your home. So here's the challenge to you. Get your family together today and say, you know what? Man, I felt convicted by the message. I'm not leading our family well. I don't even know really where to start, but I'll start with I'm sorry, and I want us to do better. I just want us to do better. I don't know how to pray, but we can learn how to pray together. I don't know where to start reading the Bible, but we'll start reading together. If you did that for your family, and I don't know the dynamic of your family, but you talk about the temperature of that home, people thinking, oh my goodness, he's either really met Jesus or he's back on drugs. Grab him by the hand and say, man, I want to lead our, as for me. And it'll start with me. You'll see a difference in me. But as for me in this house, we're going to serve the Lord. Does anybody receive that today? Come on. All right, you're getting tired. Let me move. What? You got to prioritize church. Now, this will be easy for those of you that are in the room. It's going to be a little bit more of a gut punch to those that are watching online every week, not because you're not physically able to get here, but you've just gotten lazy. We've used COVID as an excuse to just watch online, and we've chosen our couch over community, and we've chosen our French toast over fellowship. And listen, it's been 2 years since the pandemic first hit, and I see our online people everywhere. Like, I saw you at Target. And like, there's more germs in Target than there are in this room. Come on, somebody. And I love you enough to tell you that it's time to get back in church, to prioritize God's house. Now, going to church doesn't make you a Christian any more than standing in a driveway makes you a car. But there's something about the power of community and the power of corporate worship and prayer. There's something that you feel, and all of you can testify to this, there's something that you feel and experience and hear that you don't get on the other side of online. And listen to me, and I'm not saying that you should never take a vacation or hit the lake sometime and go play golf. A few weeks ago, you know, I told Kimberly, this was actually like May, June, I told her, I was like, man, I just don't want to go to church today. She was like, well, that's a really big problem. I was like, why? I just want to stay home. She's like, well, I mean, you're the preacher. I was like, well, I guess I'll go. All right. But when I get in this room with you all, your passion for God, your hunger for God. Listen to me online. I love you. I'm not being critical or judgmental. I'm just being honest. You need a hug from the lobby. You need a prayer from a prayer worker. You need the worship to get into your soul. You need to look around and see that other people are walking through the valley of the shadow of death, but their hands are lifted high. We need each other. We are better together. Hebrews says it like this. Don't neglect meeting together as some are in the habit of doing. Hey, let's all be honest. Anybody been in the habit of not going to church? Oh, yeah. Y'all didn't want to raise your hand. You're like, I ain't being honest. We've all been there. But the Bible says, let us encourage one another even more as we see the day approaching. Do you know what the day is he's talking about? The second coming of Jesus. You got to prioritize church. There's something about being together in God's house. And I'm calling all of you online. Listen, in a couple of months, October, we're going to do At the Movies. We're not even allowed to show At the Movies because of copyright laws. And the team came in after, like, what will we do with online? And should we show archived messages? And I've made a decision today. We're shutting online down for the month of October. It's come back to church. Come into this room and experience what we're experiencing. And you may want to get here early because the place is actually pretty packed. Now, let me switch gears and keep talking about this thought, but let me talk to all the travel ball parents and sports parents. I told you you're going to be a little upset with me, but next Sunday we'll come together and sing Kumbaya. Man, like I am exhausted with travel ball of any kind. First of all, you can't afford it. It's outrageously expensive. And it's pulling families away from God and away from church. And listen, and I want to be honest with you, there are tremendous athletes, professional athletes that love God. So I'm not saying that that's impossible, but these formative years of these young children are being spent on ball fields instead of sanctuaries. They're being spent on lessons instead of reading the Bible. And I'm worried about it. And I know what you think. Well, but you don't understand. Like my son, little Johnny, he's going to make it to the big leagues. And I'll just be honest. Like I saw little Johnny play at the little baseball field down here last season. And somebody needs to tell you the truth. Well, he ain't got a shot. No, I saw him out there. You think he's going to make it to, you know, the Atlanta Braves. I saw him digging in the dirt. He had a chance at a double play, and he's chasing butterflies. Listen to me. Watch this. Everybody good? 0.0296% chance that your child will become a professional athlete. 0.0086% chance that your child will become a celebrity. But there is a 100% chance that your son, your daughter, your grandson, your granddaughter will stand before Jesus. What are we teaching them? Let them do the extracurricular activities. Let them pursue some things, but not at the expense of their spiritual formation. Bring them up in the ways of God. Man, and James talked about how life is but a mist. It's here today and gone tomorrow. I think the same is true for parenting. You got 18 years. 18 years. And some of you are blessed. Like with your son, you got like 28 years. This is such a blessing. God bless him, you know. And then they walk into this real world. What are we doing to seize those moments? Another thought here is this. You got to pray for your kids every single day. This is how we become the spiritual leader of our home, is we prioritize God and his church, which is the bride of Christ. We pray for our kids. Let me give you three prayers that you can pray for your kids every single day, and then I'll talk about a prayer that we pray with our children every day. And all three of these are a part of that particular prayer, but you can and should pray that they have the fear of God in them. Not an unhealthy fear, but like a holy, reverent fear of God. Proverbs 9:10 says that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Everybody look at me real quick. I am not against tattoos at all. I'm actually very fond of the stories that many of you have behind your tattoos. Not long after my mom asked me to find a different home to live in, I was living with some guys, and man, we were just completely lost for the world. Like just it, I don't even really ever share my testimony because I'm so overwhelmed that I even lived through it all, but I found myself one night just gone. And I'm sitting in a tattoo artist chair. And I'm going to get my first tattoo. And again, I'm not against it. I think they're great. But as he began to prep the needle to start the tattoo, all I heard was my mama's voice. It was the most terrifying thing I'd ever. My family, they call me Jake, and I heard her say, "Jake, get out of that chair, boy." Now, mind you, I'm 19 years old, and I'm on my own. And then it got louder. "Jake, get out of the chair, boy." And I was like, "Who's talking to me?" And all of a sudden, this was just my story in that moment. The fear of God came over me, and it had nothing to even do with the tattoo. As much as it had to do with, I had a praying mama that just prayed that even though her son was lost, living for the world, that I would still feel conviction from the Holy Spirit. And thanks be to God, because the tattoo that I was going to get, it wasn't anything like spiritual or a story. It was just some random animal. you know, like one of the guys was like, dude, what if you got like a dolphin jumping out of the water? It's like, I've always wanted a jumping dolphin from my belly. It's tremendous. You got to pray that your friends or that your kids have godly friends. Proverbs 27:17. This is the proverb for next Sunday, by the way. As iron sharpens iron, so one friend sharpens another. Some of you need to pray the right friends in and the wrong friends. And then you need to pray for your children to walk in favor. Proverbs 3:33 talks about that the curses of God rest on the houses of the wicked. But the blessings of God, the favor of God, rests on the house of the righteous. And every night we get together, this is what we pray. I'll take a little bottle of anointing oil, get my finger greased up, and I'll go through my whole family. I anoint London Grace. I plead the blood of Jesus over her. I anoint Lakelyn James, plead the blood of Jesus. I anoint mom. And then I lay hands on myself. I anoint me. And I call my family well, healed, whole, blessed. May we walk in wisdom, favor, grace, mercy, protection, and healing. I take authority in the name of Jesus Christ, and I stand on the authority of God's word, and I rebuke sickness, illness, injury, disease, danger, death, anything evil, harmful. I speak against fear, worry, anxiety, and depression, and every weapon that is formed against them shall not prosper. In Jesus' name, a couple nights ago, and this has happened before, but London said, I'll be doing the praying tonight. And I said, you will. And she said, I will. And that little 7-year-old girl grabbed that bottle of anointing oil and she dumped it all over her hand. Sha-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta. And I mean, I had the biggest, greasiest cross on my forehead. While she was praying, it dripped into my eyes, and my eyes set on fire. She said, I lay hands on my family. I plead the blood of Jesus over my mom and dad. And I call them well, healed, whole, and blessed. And may they walk in wisdom, favor, grace, mercy, protection, and healing. 7 years old, I stand on the authority of the word of God and in the authority of the name of Jesus. I rebuke sickness, illness, injury, disease, danger, death, anything evil, harm, fear, and worry. Listen, I know, there will be trying moments in our family because our family is human. But here's what I also know. That if we train them up well in the ways of God, that even when mom and dad aren't there, the Holy Spirit will be there. And he will gently or forcefully remind them of the convictions that are buried and hidden deep within them. And they can walk a straight and narrow. I know that the enemy will come against my family. I know that the enemy will attack my family this week because of this message that I've been willing to preach. But if he's gonna come strong, he better come real strong, because I've got a Father in heaven, come on somebody, who is just as close as the very mention of his name. And I have built my home on the rock, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. I'm calling on families right now to fight for their children, fight for their sons, fight for their daughters, fight for their homes. Come on, if that's you, can you say amen? Woo! I gotta move. One more thought. You're not alone. It feels that way, but you're not alone, especially single parents. You're not alone. I gotta rapid fire this. Please don't leave just yet. Hang in there with me. Watch. This is the role we play. We got Go Kids for your children, birth to fifth grade. Our number one goal is that we would hide God's word in your son or daughter's heart, your grandson or granddaughter's heart. We've got age-specific curriculum. Listen, they're not over there just coloring pictures and making crafts. They got their own dynamic gathering. that we've prayed over and planned for them to be there. They've got a whole Christ-centered digital media experience. I mean, they're getting Jesus, and our team even now is beginning the conversations on how we develop a curriculum that really teaches and emphasizes the person and the power of the Holy Spirit. This isn't big church and kids' church. This is church. And they're getting Jesus. We got weekly resources for you parents and grandparents. I mean, if you check them in, the elementary kids, they get a weekly devotion that you can do with your family. The little ones, they get a monthly handout with activities and all of that. And we even have our own Go Kids YouTube channel that throughout the week you can jump online and you can get the content there to raise up your children in the way they should go. We love students to life as well. This is middle school and high school. We got one goal with them, and that's we want to establish a biblical worldview, creating a solid Christian foundation. The enemy is tugging at our young people, and we want your children to be fully known and fully loved, and we do that through small groups. We got small groups where they can connect and have conversation and do life at our South Metro Atlanta campus. We meet every single Wednesday. Our Germantown and Westside campus, that weekly gathering is coming. But right here, every single Wednesday, they meet together for like an hour and a half, man, and they press in hard to the things of God. And then just like our Go students, for our Go kids and Go students, we want every one of our campuses to have a paid youth pastor, stipend youth pastor, kids pastor, because those youth leaders need to be in your child's life. They need to be at the school and have some lunch with them if the school will let us come in. They need to be at the game to cheer them on. They need to be at the graduation. They need to be there as a shoulder to cry on when that young boy gets dumped for the very first time, because how many of you dads know none of our daughters will ever be allowed to date? Come on. We got young adults here at this campus. We've got bi-weekly gatherings and bi-weekly small groups, which means every week for young adults. You know, they're meeting together. Great opportunity for leadership development. Every campus needs a young adult ministry. And then here's one for the whole family. Watch. We got Life Back Counseling. It's right here on our campus. It's a part of who we are. This isn't subcontracted out. This is a ministry of Go Church. And of all the counseling sessions we do, 75% of those are family related. We got licensed and trained counselors. It's affordable. And this is a big deal. It's Christ-centered. All right, so you're not alone. We're in partnership together. And now here's something all of us can do. We can set an example. We can be an example for the generation looking for spiritual mentors. You could be a spiritual mother or father to someone that needs that in their life. You could also be an encourager. Let's make this commitment together. Let's stop downing and dissing the Zoomers. Let's stop being critical of Generation Z, and let's encourage them to find their purpose and their identity and their calling in Christ Jesus. Let's pull the good out of them instead of beating them down for all the wrong they've done. This generation could be the generation that ushers in a great awakening, a revival before the inevitable return of Christ. So what if we were an encouragement, and then watch, and then we can eliminate excuses. I'm talking about the Big C Church here, but why is it so hard to find kids volunteers and youth volunteers? Man, like, let's go. Let's serve. Let your life and your testimony be an example to them. I don't think there's a greater area that you could serve in. Last Sunday, from birth to fifth grade, at all of our campuses, we had 302 children from birth to fifth grade. And I heard a story about one of the volunteers that was like, this is too many kids. It's just too many kids. And I get that response because the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. But you know what you'll never hear the devil or hell say about the nightclub on Friday night or about the party on Saturday night? This is too many kids. No, you know what, Lord? Send us all the kids. Send us all of them. We'll take care of them. We'll partner with parents to raise them up in the ways of God, because every child has a plan and purpose. Come on, can you say amen to that? Let's go. All right, if I have you stand, you promise not to leave? All right, stand with me. This week I drove to Augusta and back, and then I drove to Greenville, South Carolina and back. And so I had a lot of time to pray, like I told you, over this message. Coming back from Greenville on Friday night, sitting in rush hour Atlanta traffic, the Holy Spirit reminded me of this prophecy out of Ezekiel 37. Now you have to give me a moment here, because I'm going to take this verse or these verses out of context. This prophecy is about the children of Israel, okay? But I'm going to prophesy these words over your sons and your daughters. All right? So I want to read it to you, and I'm going to read it to you with great conviction and passion here. Ezekiel 37. The hand of the Lord was on me, and he brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord and set me in the middle of a valley that was full of bones. And that's what I see in this generation. It's just full of bones. Just a few miles from here, we filmed for season after season, The Walking Dead. And that's what you see when you see this generation, just a valley of bones. Watch verse number 2. Watch. He led me back and forth among them, and I saw great many bones on the floor of the valley, bones that were very, very dry. And he asked me, "Son of man, can these bones live?" And I said, "Sovereign Lord, you alone know." Watch verse number 4. Thank you, Holy Spirit. And then he said to me, "Prophesy to the bones and say to them, dry bones, hear the word of the Lord." And I'm speaking to this generation. You hear the word of the Lord. This is what the sovereign Lord says to this generation. I will make breath enter you, and you will live. Come on, church. You will not die. You will live. Devil, you cannot touch our children. They belong to their father. Dry bones, come alive. Verse 6, I will attach tendons to you. I'll make flesh come upon you and cover you with skin, and I will put my Holy Spirit in you, my breath in you, and you will come to life. Then you will know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied just like I was commanded. And as I was prophesying, I feel this in my feeler. Come on. There was a noise. Come on, church. There was a sound, a rattling sound. It was like a sound of revival. And the bones came together, bone to bone. I'm talking to somebody today that you feel like your son or your daughter, they are lost and without hope. There is a sound from heaven that is coming, and it's like a rushing, mighty wind. And this Spirit of God will fill your child up, and they will come to life. Watch verse 8. I looked, and all of a sudden tendons and flesh appeared on them. Skin covered them, but there was still no breath in them. And then he said, prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, son of man, say to it, this is what the sovereign Lord says, come breath from the four winds and breathe into these slain that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded. Let's read this together and speak it over your family. Ready? 1, 2, 3. And breath entered them. They came to life and stood up on their feet as a vast army. Let's do it one more time. And breath entered them. They came to life, stood up on their feet as a vast army. Every hand raised. Come on, for your family.